What is Authority Part 2? That's where we're going today. Last week we just touched a little bit on it. The front page is a summary of last week, just to give you an idea. We taught it last week. Remember, we had a grid with all the verses. Well, I've kind of broken it down and summarized it a little more. So, what is authority? Let me read the working biblical definition. What I mean by working is that I have the right to change it and update it, and you're welcome to help me with that. But authority is the God-assigned right to control, command, or direct others within the context of God's defined realm or assigned jurisdiction and according to God's revealed will for the benefit of those led. Okay, so ultimately, if we grasp that sentence, that'll take us a long ways to where we're going. Characteristics of authority. This is what we talked about last week in that grid. Let me read the main and the underneath here. God is the ultimate authority and authority giver. So God the Father is the authority and the Godhead. Even the Godhead, who we say the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're all equal, but they have different roles. And it's interesting that God the Father is seen as being the head of the Godhead. And even you can see it in 1 Corinthians 11:3. I added that verse, but it says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." So there's a structure of authority even within that, and that means it's pure and good. It isn't authority. Some people teach that because Adam and Eve fell, that's what started the authority of man over woman. That could not be farther from the truth. Authority is a reflection. Authority structure is a reflection of the Godhead. Jesus has all authority given to him. Matthew 28:18. All authority is given me in heaven and earth. Authority is given, not taken. It's given to Jesus. It's given to the apostles. It's given in salvation to rulers. Jesus told Pilate, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above." Jesus acknowledged Pilate's God-given authority. That doesn't mean that any authority is holy, godly, or good, but God uses them for godliness and goodness because he's in charge of them. And also, authority will be given to believers in the judgment. So apparently, some will be over others as a reward. Authority means control. It means others have the right to tell you what to do. That's what authority is. It's someone telling you what to do, and it's something different than probably you would do if you were in charge. Okay, honestly, you know, otherwise you don't need to. Authority involves the power to control someone or something. And I put to some degree or another. There's levels of authority. There's levels of power, but that's exactly what it means. Does not the potter have authority over the clay? You know, it's that idea that you can do what you want. And again, who defines what you can do? God does, you don't. Whether it's a parent, a pastor, a president, you know, or a policeman, any of those. Authority involves the privilege to do something. Have we no authority to eat and drink? It involves an assigned authority. And the last one here is authority is given to help others. Okay? Authority is given to build up or to edify, not to tear down. And again, that's where people misunderstand. It's authority is given to God, is given by God to give an example for others to follow, not for personal benefit. As an authority, you also have responsibility to be the example. You're setting the pace. And then authority is given should be for the benefit of others. You're given the authority not, and it can be abused, and also it says, beware lest somehow this liberty or authority of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. Even as an individual, you have authority as a believer, but it's not given so that you can do whatever you want. you have to take other people into consideration. So any questions on page one? All right. We'll see. The first part at the top here, authority versus ability, right versus might, it really has nothing to do with the second part, really. But it's a little bit of a discussion that I'd like to have, or at least to present here. But I think one of the confusions that you have today and maybe always is that people confuse authority with ability or right with might. In other words, if I'm able to do it, then I am authorized to do it. And that's not the same thing. In other words, here's an example. Most cars that I know can go faster than the speed limit. Just because you can go faster does not mean you have the authority to go faster. Ability is different than authority. Okay? Let's move it. What if a student knows more than the teacher? Okay? That's not impossible, because a teacher might be teaching one thing and the student knows something else better than the teacher does. That doesn't give the student the right to lead the class. What if a wife is smarter than her husband? And all God's women said? Amen. All right. You know, what if? Yeah. Does that give her the right to run the family? Okay. You see where I'm going? What if you're smarter than the mayor? That doesn't give you the right. Why? Because position and power are two different things. And so that's what we're trying to nail it down here. What if a child is thinks they know better than their parents? Don't they all? Didn't we all kind of in some way or another, okay? The idea there is it's the same. Just because you think you know better, and you may or may not, right, doesn't mean you have the right to displace or replace your authority. Why? Because authority is given, not taken. And who gives authority? You do not give authority to yourself. God gives authority. Now next week, next Saturday, is it 2? I have to make sure and be here. 2? Okay. I got to write that down. Joe and Elizabeth get married. Okay? By God's definition, Joe becomes Elizabeth's primary human authority. Still time to back out. It's like, you're crazy now. I've decorated the church. This is over with. But I'm saying, who defined that? God defines that. Okay? Honestly, if you look around, guys don't pursue authority in that way. They divest authority. No, I'd rather play than lead. Thank you. Kind of idea. Okay? And it even happened in the Garden of Eden, and to some degree or another. You know, what are you looking at? Look at her. Right? I just soon be a player, not the coach. Look at her. Okay? So let me read this a little bit. The ability to do something is not the same as the authority to do something. Okay, those are different. Power is different than position. Ability is the strength or skill to perform a job, duty, or task. Authority is the appointment to a position of responsibility over someone or something. Authority assumes some level of ability but requires appointment or assignment. Just because you've gotten to know something doesn't automatically make you or place you in the position of authority. Okay? So again, we have to understand that just because I know something doesn't make me in charge. And I'll go back to I did not get this when I was in the Army. I got the whole rank structure to a little bit, but I told you about my sinful attitude and responses to my platoon sergeant. Okay? And in some ways, I at least thought I was smarter than my platoon sergeant. And I may have been. And I'm not arguing that one way or the other. But the theological response to that, the biblical response to that is so what? Does that make sense? He's in charge. He was the sergeant first class, E7, and I was a private first class, or I got up to, I think, a sergeant by then, you know, throughout the process. But it's like, so what? Guess what? No one placed you in charge of the communications platoon. You're under him. Now, you might have authority, and I did to some degree. I was over some people for a while. You might have authority, but only the authority that you've been assigned, given. Just because you know things or you maybe have insights, and again, that's debatable, right? That's, I always say, you know, a survey of one. I think I'm right. Well, how many people have you talked to? One. 100% agreement that you're right. Okay? And understand, you may be, I was wrong in my attitude and my responses. Okay? Regardless. And I don't think God was looking at my intelligence. He was looking at my attitude. And my attitude was sinful and rebellious. And it was absolutely wrong, without question. But don't you know that I know? Who cares? So what? Right? And folks, that's true. That's what we have to get to understand, whether we're children following our parents, whether we're wives following our husbands, whether we're privates following platoon sergeants, whether we're employees following our employers, whether we're citizens following God-appointed leaders. There's a realm of response. Now again, there may be times when we need to disobey that authority. But we are still under that authority and have to pay the consequences of that. Jesus yielded to Pilate. Right? The apostles were beaten for preaching in Jesus' name. They were told not to preach in Jesus' name. They had a higher authority, so they had to do it. Somebody outranked the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders. But what did they do? They got arrested, if you will, and they got beaten. God works within human authority, and a lot of times it ends up being unfair, but it does not eliminate that authority. Okay? Now, there might be things that, okay, now there's a certain level where you can't, your jurisdiction, like, for instance, I don't think it's right for someone to beat his wife. And there's laws against that, and there's a jurisdiction over that. Okay? So there might be time when you have to appeal to an authority. Your husband, for instance, is under what? Police, right? Yeah, you can't just do what you want. It's like I've shared with some of my kids before. It's like, you know what? You're always under authority. If you're not under my authority, you're under somebody else's. You're never your own man. Fair? It's like, and if you think so, drive on the left side of the road, backwards, while you're at it. With your horn down. You know, just make it worth your while. get more than one ticket. Why? Because you know what? You don't own the road, and you can't even decide how fast to go or what side of the road to go on. Okay? And that's just one small thing. You can't walk into a store and do whatever you want, can you? I'm going to think I'm going to take this. You know what? Guess what? You're under authority. It's against the law to steal. And by the way, the store doesn't like it. And you'll end up going to jail. Why? Because that's authority. Okay? The authority has the right to what? Tell you what to do. All right? And ultimately, that authority stems from God. So questions or comments on that? It has nothing to do with what we know. That doesn't mean that you cannot be used to assist your authority. And a good authority will you know, utilize the people that he's over. Okay. But what if he doesn't? So what? All right? There's right ways to approach it, but if God says no, if that person's against your input, then yield to that authority without saying anything, right? So authority versus ability, right versus might. Both are biblical words, by the way. The power one is dunamis. We ultimately get the word dynamite from it, but it's ability or strength. It's not a bad thing, but it just because you're strong, whether it's physically, intellectually, or whatever, doesn't give you the position to exercise that. You're still under the various authorities, and all of us are under multiple authorities. Questions? Comments? Yes. Yes, absolutely. No, honestly, God's ways work. They're intended to function. Well, okay? And even within a sin-cursed environment, which we all are, and all of these commands came after that. There was only one command before man fell, and that was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All of this came after man fell. God knew all about the sinful thing. He knew about your sinful heart and he knew about your authority's sinful heart, right? All of that. And he said, yeah. And if we didn't have Jesus' example, it would still stand, but there's just so much there. So we may come back to that as we kind of slog through this, but it's so... The concept of authority has been abandoned in our culture. Even in Christian circles, everyone is their own person, man, woman, or child. And that is sinful. And it's anti-God. You see structure, authority structure, even in the Godhead. It reflects deity, the image of God, even. Okay? Let's go on to the purposes of authority. This is just a list of examples. It's in no way something that exhausts the list. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and one I tack on at the end, almost as a summary there. There's no verses for it. They're not numbered, I guess. The first one, to instruct us. God gives us authorities to instruct us. Aren't you glad? No matter how faulty your parents were, that they were there to help you, to teach you. From a biblical scope, it goes into more detail. Deuteronomy 6 says, "And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Who's this written to? Yeah, okay, but specifically. Yeah, but Israel, who in Israel? Parents, right? Parents. Their job is to speak of the things of God in every moment throughout the process of the day. So parents aren't just there to tell you to make your bed. They're there to talk about God, to instruct the children. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and he himself, talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What's the purpose of pastors? Yeah, to equip, to edify, to build up. Okay? They're not there to bark orders. They're there ultimately for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of ministry, which ultimately leads to the building up of the body of Christ. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Okay? So the idea, there's the instruction involved. Remember we said authority is for the benefit of those under that authority. And that's true for parents, and we looked at pastors. 1 Thessalonians 2, you are witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Again, focusing on the father's responsibility to instruct. Now again, each one of these verses could probably be divided up in multiple categories. So you could easily take some of these verses and put them under other purposes of authority as well. So I'm giving you more examples, not an exhaustive list by any means. So to instruct us. So our authorities are there to instruct us. And that to me is a very big responsibility. Not just to control us, but to instruct us in the right way. You see that throughout the book of Proverbs as far as parents go. Now, tied in with instruction, to instruct us, is also to correct us. To correct us. Second Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. What would that fit under? Probably number one, right? And to instruct us. So see, again, these verses can be put in different categories. It says here, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So part of the authority area is to correct. Rebuke has to do with you doing something wrong and someone correcting you in that way. Look at Titus 2:1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That could be under teaching as well. Sound. The word for sound, we get the word hygiene from. Healthy. which in and of itself, if someone's teaching you to eat in a healthy manner, what is it assuming? That you're not eating in a healthy manner, okay? We aren't born with the truth. So healthy doctrine counters unhealthy doctrine that we come to our own conclusions on. Okay. Titus 2:1, but as I already read that one, Titus 2:15, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Paul tells Titus, let no one despise you. I don't know if it's the Baptist realm, and it can't fully be just because it's Baptist, because there's some Baptists that almost make pastors into somebody to be worshipped, and that's wrong. It's, you know, touch not thine anointed. And it's like, well, I understand the motivation behind it, but that's not what God's point is. You should have proper respect for authority, but your authority is not to be worshipped in any way. Okay? But there's still an intrinsic or built-in authority in every level here that you have to understand. Pastors do have authority. They're not just suggesters, they're shepherds. The picture of a shepherd is what? Leading sheep, not just suggesting, hey, if you don't mind, would you come this way? Sheep don't follow that way. Okay, that's why, and I'm just telling you, that's why I don't believe in a congregational rule idea. That doesn't mean every person doesn't have the right for input. But if you believe that, then maybe you should run your family that way too and see how that goes. I'm sure Daniel would have a different perspective in the direction we should go than I would. My 5-year, is he 5? They're growing too fast. Maybe if I duct tape them up and throw them in the closet, that'll slow it down a little bit. Probably not. That's more likely to happen to me with them than the other way around. But the idea, there's an authority there. In fact, and I'm saying with a pastoral authority, but that's true of any level of authority, it's there is a level of responsibility for those following to do what they're told. Now, that doesn't mean the person knows everything or makes all the right decisions. And that's why I do believe in a multiplicity of pastors, because there's safety in numbers. And no man knows everything. All God's women said. Sorry. But the idea, there's safety in numbers and all that, but there's still a responsibility of that authority. The word for shepherd in the book of Revelation is translated rule. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's speaking of Jesus. Okay, so there is a rulership there. That doesn't mean that a leader should not be sensitive, should not be aware of input, but just like a father or parents over children, a husband for a wife, a boss or whatever, you need to do as the authority and make your choice before God, not what the majority rule is. Okay, and that's what I think our country has gone from, a republic, democratic republic, to a democracy, which is mass rule. And the majority is usually, help me out, wrong. The nation Israel would have returned to Egypt under majority rule. Okay? And they would have put Moses to death. Another minor thing there. Again, there's an authority in every level of authority. There's a responsibility to follow. And there's also the responsibility of the authority to work within the dictates of God, right? You're not making it up as you go. The third purpose of authority is to direct us. Now, I know that's a little different, to instruct, to correct, to direct. But I don't know how else to summarize Ephesians 6. It should be 1 through 3, actually, is what I'm focused on here. But children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Okay? Obey is the idea that someone's told you to do something. That's a direction. It's not instruction. It's not the same as instruction, and it's not the same as correction, because those are telling you what to do or how to do it. But obey means they're telling you to do it. And that means they're directing you. And I think authority has within that concept too. They're telling you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it to some degree or another. You know, in the military it was, you know, I don't know how sensible this is, but the illustration in the military was, when I tell you to jump, you ask how high. Right? Yeah, that's the rigid military view of authority. And some of them would try and tell you to jump, but that's not the point they're making. But the idea is there's that responsibility to do what you're told in obedience, and children need to learn to obey. And obey means to do what you're told right away, unless it violates a higher authority. I think that's something that's placed upon all of us. And notice it ties it back to what? Yeah. Yeah, the fifth commandment. And it has to do with honor. You can't honor unless you obey. Okay, well, I don't know how much we'll get into this later, but growing up, this seemed to relate to just little children. But the word there is not little children. It's not young children. There's a word for that. This is children. How many here are children? Raise your hand. Okay? There's no age limit to this in the word itself. It doesn't limit you. I'm a child. I had the opportunity. It's so neat because I don't get to spend much time with my parents. But I drove up Wednesday night after church, and then Dad and I, we stood and talked for an hour. You know, he said, "I'll be in bed. I'll leave the door unlocked." And I'm like, "He'll be up. He'll, that's just my dad." But so we stood and talked till, you know, close to 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I had a leisurely breakfast with Mom and Dad, and it was just delightful. But I honestly believe before God that I am still bound to honor my parents. It's different now because of what? Not my age. Be careful if you say if you turn 18, you're now on your own. Okay, we'll probably get to that. Why? Joe, can you answer that question? Because I'm married. And you say, well, you're kidding. That's the point of change? Well, it seems to be. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they'll become one flesh. You do not see ever in the Bible the concept that when you turn 18 or 21 or 41 or 101, that you're not responsible to your parents. You only become a separate entity upon marriage, and you're still... You're now responsible directly to God rather than through your parents for your family, but you're still responsible to honor your parents. Even in their old age, you're supposed to care for them. It carries through all the way. Okay? There's a separate entity that you have to now decide before God. So you become a separate, distinct entity. But otherwise, I find nothing in the Bible that says you're liberated in any way. What's a great passage that refers to someone as an adult in the Bible? I'm getting ahead, but it's still tying. It all fits into the idea of authority. And I know I'm giving you stuff that you've probably never thought about, because this is new stuff for me. I've wrestled with this just in the last couple of years. Quote me a verse in the Bible that talks about an adult. Yeah, but that's just talking about getting old, right? Okay. Okay, that's talking about age.
What about the one where a child is broken
Okay. There's a manhood. That's an age thing. We'll talk. That's 1 Corinthians. I think it's 13:8. We'll talk about that in just a minute. How many times is the word adult used in the Bible? Okay, get ready to write this down. I looked in the 6 most popular literal translations, New American Standard, English Standard Version, all that. The word adult never occurs in the Bible. The closest thing you get to is adultery. Does that mean something? Is that a little different than the current of our culture, of our Christian culture? Here's another one that ties into it too. Or independence, either one. The idea of adult, it doesn't mean that people do not become mature. The Bible speaks of maturity. The Bible speaks of godliness. Not adulthood is like some magic age. Now, let's go before I get to here. What if you're 18? And you adopt the idea that when you're 18, you can make your own decisions. You're not under authority anymore. Where are you 18? Is it just the home? Okay, when I'm 18, I'm my own person. My own person. Government says that's kind of the case. They still won't let you buy alcohol till you're 21, huh? Because maybe you're not responsible or something.
That if they can get away with
well, and they will eventually. Yeah, you can get your license without going to class. Okay? But let me ask you this. How many here work a job? Okay, and now, how many of those with your hands raised are 18 or older? So since you're 18, you can do your own thing at work, right?
Work your own hours.
Yeah, just do what you want. Why? Because you're 18. You can do whatever you want on your own. How many here are wives? Ted, keep your hand up. Okay, how many here are at least 18? Well, send the youth to follow your husband, right? Because why? You're your own person. You're 18 now. See how absurd that is? How many here drive a car? How many here drive a car and they're at least 18 years old? So you don't have to obey the law, right? Because you're your own person. See how absurd that is? Age has nothing to do with authority. Position is authority. How many here have ever had a boss that's younger than you are? That hurts, doesn't it? Doesn't that just kind of goad you for a while? What's bad is when you start having bosses that you're older, you can be their father. Okay? That kind of thing. You know what I mean? Age has nothing to do with authority. Appointment makes authority, not age, right? And again, that goes back to the ability doesn't have anything to do with authority directly. It assumes that you have some ability, though politics and military will prove that wrong at times. People get in authority, or maybe even the workplace, people get in authority that don't have the ability that they should have. Okay? This one here, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. It doesn't have anything to do with authority in the verse, does it? When I became a man, I put away childish things. What does it have to do with? Maturity. And, by the way, the word child here is infant, just so you know that. And the idea is, Paul's not talking about authority at all here. He's talking about speaking in tongues in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13. But the idea is you should grow up. You shouldn't always be a baby. So that points to maturity again. Can you be old and be immature? So, age has nothing to do with maturity either, does it? Really? You've met young people that are mature for their age, and you've met me. No, but you find people, the Bible says, you know, the hoary head, this is what King James says, is honorable if it's found in wisdom. Hoary is white. That's King James. I think it's the white head. The idea is you can be old and wise, you can be old and goofy, foolish, right? It has nothing to do with it. We'll talk more about this. We'll get there. When we get to parents and children. The next one here is to provide for us. A lot to chew on, eh? To provide for us. 2 Corinthians 12:14. Now for the third time I am ready to come to you, Paul says to the Corinthians, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Well, that wipes out Social Security, doesn't it? Parents are laying up for their children. 1 Thessalonians 2:7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, providing nourishment. A nursing mother providing nourishment. The parents provide for the children here. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay? That's what even marriage... People have rejected marriage in our day, and I don't get it. It's like you hear people, that, you know, they're living together, they have a couple of kids together, but they're not sure if they want to be committed. And it's like that's why God says get married before you live together, before you have children, because commitment comes first. Because there's the responsibility in the God-designed, God-appointed commitment that you are responsible for the wife that you take and the children that God gives you. But without marriage, for some reason, we're all on our own. And I don't get that. I don't understand. There's no logic to that at all. Somehow we're not... I don't know if I want to jump into this. Jump into it. What do you mean? You have a wife, per se, and children, okay? Provide for us, okay? And by the way, Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 is speaking as a spiritual leader that he did not take pay, though he could have, because he was providing for his spiritual children, so to speak, okay? So it's not just parents that's thought of. He's using parents as an illustration for why he's doing what he's doing. The last one here, and I think it's probably the biggest one, and I think... It all goes together here, but it's to protect us. I think the instruction, the correction, the direction, the provision all fit underneath here. It's for our benefit, ultimately, to protect us. You know, why do parents tell kids what to do? So parents can be in charge. Like I was teasing the other day, you know, I march Lynn around the office just so people know that I'm his boss. I don't do that. In fact, they probably think he's my boss. But the idea of we're there for the benefit of them, and it's like, you know what? Parents tell kids to the best of their ability because, you know what? Parents won't always be there. And you want your best, the best for your children, right? And you look back and it's like, I think my parents were smart after all. You know, they didn't have it all together, but they kind of had a clue because they'd been around the block a few more times. Acts 20, Paul says this to the Ephesian elders, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. That doesn't sound like a privileged position to you, does it? I would think that if most politicians understood the responsibility that came with authority, few would run. But instead, most politicians run so that they could benefit themselves and their constituency in a wrong way. And God will hold them accountable for that. Romans 13, 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror. Paul is writing this when Nero is in office as Caesar. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's deacon. He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. Be very afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's deacon, minister, an avenger to execute wrath upon him who practices evil. Government, as wicked as it can be, is still good for us. It's better than anarchy. Anarchy comes from the Greek word to rule, and the word a in front of it, without rule. Another way to say it is chaos. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive. This is talking about spiritual leaders here. For they watch out for your souls. And the word for watch is like to lose sleep over. They watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And the idea is, how many here, whether you've been a child or you have children or both, if your child is bad, or you were bad as a child, say, you know, just theoretically speaking, does that eliminate your parents' responsibility or just make it harder? Right? Yeah, it doesn't. Oh, good. He's being naughty. I give up. That's right. Go talk to your dad. Go see your dad. But the idea is, it doesn't eliminate your responsibility. It just makes it more difficult. So if you think of it in a general sense, submitting to authority just makes their job easier. Rebelling just makes it harder. It doesn't eliminate their job. They're there to protect you. They watch for your souls, right? So instruct us, correct us, direct us, provide for us, protect us. And the last one, I think, is kind of a summary statement. There's no verses under it. This is an idea. But to structure or order our life. To structure or order life, rather. Think of God the Creator. What did He do? He separates light from the darkness. He separates the waters from above the earth, below the earth, with the firmament. He separates the waters from the land and calls the land earth, so there's dry land. He creates, each one of those, by the way, is authority being exercised and created, boundaries being created. And what does it create? It creates something good. Just like Pastor Sean is hammered home, it's after its kind. You can't get a cat from a dog. That's a boundary. That's an authority that God has established, if will, in creation. The atoms function that create up your or make up your body, that create the molecules and all that, they function according to a design. That's an authority that God holds into, and you're glad, even though you don't remember that you're made from millions and millions of molecules, that God holds it all together. There's an authority there. God gives structure to society. He starts out by creating the marriage relationship, the family relationship. In Genesis 9, He creates the governmental relationship. Later on, He creates a religious relationship, if you will, too. And all of those are for our benefit. It gives structure and authority to life. If you didn't have those, it would just be chaos. And it wouldn't work right. Okay, it's kind of like driving on the right side of the road. How unfair is that? Unfair, it's safe. It's good. Okay? So all of that goes together to give structure, order to life. God knows what He's doing. And all of this in Genesis, and this ties into Genesis well, that God defines and designs on purpose because He creates it to work. And when we reject God's design, whether it's parent, child, husband, wife, even in the church or in a job or in the political realm of governments, we are only making it not work. We're hurting ourselves, and we're missing the point. Authority is not bad. You can have bad authorities, but the authority is not bad in and of itself. That's a divine idea. And all of creation is based upon authority. In every level, in every way, in every relationship, everything is under the authority of God. And you want it that way. You want gravity to work. Maybe not as good as it does sometimes, but you want it to work. You know, things like that. So anyway, questions or comments? Go ahead, Mark. I would say that that's probably overstating things. Do you have the right to leave? I would say that you have to have the God-given right to leave an authority.
I mean, in regard to your boss, you leave the job.
Mm-hmm. But until you leave the job, you're under that boss's authority, though, right? You can't do your own thing while you're there, right? And you have that choice. But also, what are other relationships? Can children leave their parents? Under what authority can they do that? I don't see where that's found in the Bible. You see where kids do that. That's called the prodigal son. You know, and the father complied. Give me my inheritance. Okay. I don't think it's good. But go do it. And then he destroys himself. You know, he comes back and the father receives him back. But I don't see where there's you go out on your own. What about the marriage? Wife and under a husband. Okay, a lot of people say, yeah, it's called no-fault divorce. I just leave because I want to. And it could be go from the husband to the wife or wife to the husband. Okay? Is that biblical? Uh-uh. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the idea. So it's like, okay, if we start saying we can leave authority, we better have very good grounds. I believe leaving a church is the same way. Because if you leave a church rather than because of problems, what does it not do? It doesn't solve the problems. And guess what? If you're part of the problem, you just take it with you to another church, right? So I there's a lot there. Does it mean you can't ever leave a church? I don't think so, but I think that's the rare occasion, and it's after you've done everything you possibly can for what God assigns for you to do kind of thing. So, all right? We'll get into that more. But, I mean, I think we've redefined authority today to be, if I don't like you, I can leave, and so therefore, who's the authority? I'm the authority. I'm a self-appointed authority. Okay? So a lot different. So they're right in knocking on the door, you know, because I've been ignoring another authority, the clock. Okay. Anyway, we'll be back at this next week, and we're studying stuff, and we'll get into submission too. What submission is? There's different realms. We might tackle that next week as an overview. I think there's five different general realms of submission. And then we'll go in maybe details after that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to yield to you ultimately by yielding to our authorities and understand that you are in control of our authorities and our circumstances. And help us not to rebel, and help us to obey you as our ultimate authority. We pray that you just bless each one here as they seek to serve and honor you. And thank you for the grace and the power to do so through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.